The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's stories include: deadline is January 21st for WAKE rent and utility assistance, and cutting taxes starves NC services but does little for taxpayers. People who want to apply for pandemic-related rental and utility assistance through Wake County have until January 21st to apply. The $101 million program called White House Wake has helped 3,900 households pay their rent and utility bills after seeing a drop in their income due to the pandemic, according to a news release. The assistance this program has been able to provide to thousands facing an eviction or a utility cutoff is incredible, but unfortunately cannot last forever. We need to embrace the reality of the program ending, said Wake County Commissioner Vicki Adamson in a news release. We want to be good stewards of the process and only accept applications that we know we can fund with the federal dollars currently available. Wake County and Raleigh both applied for additional funding from the federal government, but weren't successful. The January 21st cutoff will ensure there is enough money to help applicants through April 30th. Applicants must have one or more members of their household experiencing financial hardships due to COVID-19, and their income must not exceed 80% of the area median income. More than 12,600 applications have been submitted to date, with 3,908 approved, 2,602 denied, and 5,197 still being processed, according to Leah Holdren, spokesperson for the county. More than $28.2 million has already been paid out. Due to the high volume of applications received and limited staffing, there is a longer than usual waiting period between submitting an application and assistance payout, averaging around 4 to 5 weeks for processing, she said. Once the application is approved, the landlord is contacted for payment details. Payment is usually delivered 7 to 10 days after that. How to apply? Go to wakegov.com/housing or housewake.org or email housing@telemon.org. You can also call 919-899-9911 to request an application. Next, stocks end modestly lower after recouping most early loss. Stocks on Wall Street fell again Monday, though the market ended up bouncing nearly all the way back from an early slide led by the technology companies. A broad wave of selling pulled had the S&P 500 down by 2% in the early going, but a late afternoon burst of buying left the benchmark index with a loss of just 0.1%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.5%, after having been down 1.6%, and the tech-heavy NASDAQ eked out a gain of less than 0.1% after having been down 2.7%. The latest pullback followed a sell-off last week as investors shifted holdings in anticipation that the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates this year, among other moves aimed at lowering inflation. Wall Street is trying to get a better read on when and by how much the Fed will lift rates. It has the market a little bit rattled from the uncertainty of it all, said J.J. Kinahan, chief strategist with TD Ameritrade. I would expect volatility to continue to stay elevated for the rest of the first quarter, at least as we continue to grapple with this question. The S&P 500 slipped 6.74 points to 4,670.29. The drop extended the index's losing streak to 5 days. It's now about 2.6% below the all-time high it set a week ago. The Dow fell 162.79 points to 26,068.87 after having been down 591 points in the early going. The NASDAQ rose 6.93 points to 14,942.83, snapping a four-day losing streak. Small company stocks also lost ground. The Russell 2000 fell 8.66 points or 0.4% to 2,171.15. The selling began to lose momentum at the same time as a rise in Treasury yields eased. The 10-year Treasury briefly hit 1.84% before slipping back to 1.76% by late afternoon. That matches where the yield was late Friday. Early on, when bond yields were rising, technology stocks were the biggest drag on the S&P 500. Higher interest rates make the stocks of expensive tech companies and other pricey growth companies less attractive to investors, which is why the sector has been slipping as bond yields rise. The tech sector has been the biggest weight on the market through January and is coming off of its worst week since October 2020. Big technology stocks have an outsized influence on the S&P 500 because of their huge size. Coming into the year, the technology sector represented 29.2% of the S&P 500. Higher interest rates could help corral the high inflation sweeping the world, but they would also mark the end to the conditions that have put financial markets in easy mode for many investors since early 2020. The Fed has said it will accelerate the reduction of its bond purchases, which have helped keep interest rates low. The market now puts the chances of the Fed raising short-term rates by at least a quarter point in March at around 78%. A month ago, it was about 36%. Industrial stocks, banks, and a mix of companies that rely on consumer spending accounted for a big share of the S&P 500's decline Monday. Those losses were kept in check by gains in healthcare, technology, and communication stocks. A mix of deal news and financial updates moved several large stocks. Take-Two Interactive, maker of Grand Theft Auto, plunged 13.1% for the biggest decline in the S&P 500 after announcing a deal to buy Zynga, which makes Words with Friends and Farmville. Zynga jumped 40.7%. Next, Japan's Panasonic joins trend of four-day week. Panasonic is introducing an optional four-day work week one of a small but growing number of Japanese companies joining the global trend to encourage a good work-life balance. Employees of the Osaka-based electronics conglomerate can take up side jobs and spend time on local volunteer work on their extra days off, CEO Yuki Kusumi said in an investor briefing last week. Our responsibility is to strike an ideal balance between the work style and lifestyle for our diverse human capital, Kusumi said. Panasonic will also let employees work from home when their partners are transferred to other locations, he said. Panasonic's move is in line with actions by technology companies worldwide that are trying to attract talent in a tight job market by offering a shorter week. Amazon piloted a four-day week for select employees in 2018, and consumer goods giant Unilever in December 2020 started a year-long trial of the shortened week for its New Zealand staff. Countries such as Ireland and Iceland are also trying it out. In Japan, a group of lawmakers are discussing a proposal to grant employees a day off in addition to the two break days a week to protect their well-being. But companies allowing four-day weeks are still a small minority. Just over 8% of the Japanese firms offered more than two guaranteed days off, according to a survey conducted in 2020 by the Labor Ministry. That may be changing. Drug maker Shionogi and Company, which is developing an oral COVID-19 treatment, will provide the option for 3 days off per week from April, according to a Nike newspaper report. Yahoo Japan and Sompo Himawara Life Insurance also allow four-day weeks to staff caring for children or aging relatives, the Nikea reported. Next, Apple Store developers see record earnings. Apple Inc. said that developers have generated more than $260 billion in revenue since the App Store launched in 2008, up about $60 billion from the figure it reported a year ago. The iPhone maker made the announcement Monday as part of a summary of the performance of its digital services across 2021. The company said the App Store generated a new yearly record for App Store developer earnings last year, and that App Store sales between Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve rose in the double digits from the same period a year ago. Apple didn't say how much it generated during that week in 2021, but previously said it made $1.8 billion during that period of 2020. Apple said that it's not possible to extrapolate the company's cut of that revenue. The company's App Store's commissions have grown increasingly controversial and were an issue in its legal battle with Fortnite maker Epic Games, Inc. Apple charges either 15% or 30% to developers, depending on how much revenue the developer generates or if the app is a subscription used for more than a year. Apple also said that 30 million tickets for access to events were stored and used in its wallet app across the U.S. and Canada last year, and that its Apple Books app has 100 million monthly users. And next, an editorial from the News and Observer editorial board. Cutting taxes starves North Carolina services, but does little for taxpayers. If an income tax rate falls in North Carolina, does anyone hear it? Apparently not, according to a blog post from the Carolina Partnership for Reform, a nonprofit that touts the achievements of the Republican-led General Assembly. The group recently posted some very good facts on tax cuts that North Carolinians will enjoy as a result of the latest legislative actions passed in 2021. One of the very good facts is that those earning the state's median income of $50,653 will save $131 in taxes in 2022. But the Partnership for Reform is worried that North Carolinians are not celebrating the GOP's generosity in giving median earners this year what amounts to less than a $3 a week in income tax savings. Low tax advocates have noticed. The group cites a blog post from the Tax Foundation hailing North Carolina's tax cuts, which will reduce individual income tax rates nearly by half between 2013 and 2027. Here, the Carolina Partnership for Reform, a virtual mouthpiece for the legislature's Republican leadership, makes a remarkable statement. This is amazing progress, and North Carolina taxpayers should be celebrating and joyfully cheering the good news. But the problem is North Carolina taxpayers don't know their good fortune, and they don't know their taxes have dropped drastically. The group cites polls that ask North Carolinians if they are aware the tax rates have dropped and bemoans that the answer is always gone up. Not even stayed the same. That appears to be an accurate assessment. David McClellan, who directs Meredith College's Meredith Poll, said in an email that he has not polled specifically on state tax cuts, but when I have polled more generally about taxes, a majority of people think taxes are too high. About 40% think they are okay, and 10% think they are too low. I suspect that the organization's claim is correct. North Carolinians have a much more general understanding of taxing and spending than our political leaders imagine. This lack of popular acclaim for Republican tax cuts, the Carolina Partnership for Reform said, is the fault of the media for not telling people their tax rates have gone down often enough. The group urges its followers to forward this blog post all around to your friends, coworkers, and family and tell them how their taxes have dropped in the last decade. But there may be a better explanation for why most North Carolinians aren't aware of the tax cuts. That's because the largest share of the reductions have gone to corporations and the state's top 20% of earners. Meanwhile, taxpayers have seen the sales tax applied to online sales and more services, fees and fines have increased, and urban counties have increased property taxes to make up for inadequate state funding for schools and services. State Senator Dan Blue, Democrat Wake, the Senate's minority leader, said it's not a mystery why most people are not celebrating modest savings in their personal income taxes. They are aware that they are spending more than they are getting back in supposed tax breaks, he said. Blue said most people would prefer that their tax dollars be well spent than reflexively cut to serve a low tax philosophy. People are willing to invest in a quality education system because they see the results of that much more than they see the benefit of getting $131, he said. So here we are, after a decade of relentless tax cuts. North Carolina has lost billions of dollars in tax revenue. Public schools are struggling, state services are lacking, and the people who were supposedly clamoring for income tax relief don't even notice it because they're paying more in sales taxes, fees, and local taxes. The legislature's Republican leadership is free to take a bow, but most North Carolinians are holding their applause. Next, Treasury, be prepared for frustration, delays this tax season. When the U.S. tax filing season begins in 2 weeks, taxpayers should be prepared for delays as returns and refunds are processed and for difficulties in reaching the IRS, Treasury officials warned on Monday. Taxpayers and return preparers should gird for a challenging and frustrating tax season, as many of the processing delays and customer service shortages that have plagued the Internal Revenue Service for years will persist this year, Treasury officials told reporters. The official said funding cuts and staffing shortages due to the ongoing health crisis are causing the problems. The pandemic continues to create challenges, but the IRS reminds people there are important steps that they can take to help ensure their tax return and refund don't face processing delays, IRS Commissioner Chuck Reitag said in a statement Monday. Filing electronically with direct deposit and avoiding a paper tax return is more important than ever this year. Returns can be filed as early as January 24th, with the tax filing deadline set at April 18th for most taxpayers because of a District of Columbia holiday on Friday, April 15th, an official said. Taxpayers in Maine and Massachusetts have until April 19th to file and pay their liabilities, thanks to the Patriots' Day holiday in those states. The filing season begins as the IRS is still grappling with several large administrative challenges that have been exacerbated by the pandemic, along with additional requirements such as the processing of stimulus payments and advanced child tax credits. IRS representatives were only able to answer about 10% of phone calls to the agency last filing season. And as of mid-November 2021, the agency still had a backlog of roughly 8.6 million returns to process. The IRS would typically start the filing season with a backlog of fewer than 1 million returns, an official said. The IRS says it generally processes refunds within about 3 weeks of a tax return submission. The agency recommends filing electronically and requesting for the refund by way of direct deposit rather than a mailed check for a faster turnaround. By law, the IRS must hold refunds until at least mid-February for taxpayers claiming the earned income tax credit or the additional child tax credit that Congress enacted last year so that the agency can conduct additional fraud checks. Taxpayers who did not receive some or all of their $1,400 stimulus payment from the March 2021 pandemic relief law can also claim that on their tax return this year. The average tax refund in 2021 was $2,815, according to IRS data. Some taxpayers could find that their tax refund is smaller this year compared with previous years. Democrats in the March 2021 American Rescue Act expanded the child tax credit for low- and middle-income households and sent half of the up to $3,600 payment in monthly installments. Those went out from July through December, essentially distributing a portion of the refund up front. That shift to monthly payments rather than the usual lump sum distribution in the spring was designed to help lower and middle income families better meet some of their regular living costs, especially amid the enduring pandemic. But the new method means some people won't get the size of refunds that they'd otherwise expect and could even have to pay the IRS back if their incomes end up being too high. The expanded child tax credit expired in December. Negotiations to extend the monthly payments are stalled in the Senate as Democrats are deadlocked over how to advance President Joe Biden's economic agenda. Without congressional action, families will no longer receive monthly payments and will instead be able to claim a tax credit worth up to $2,000 in spring of 2023 on their tax forms. The Treasury official said that it is critical for Congress to pass the Democrat social spending bill, which includes $80 billion for the IRS to bolster the agency's enforcement efforts and its service operations. Next, three steps to yield financial happiness. And this is by the editorial group at News and Observer, specifically Teresa Ghilarducci and Bloomberg Opinion. Despite what the poets say, money, or at least financial security, can be one of the most important steps toward happiness. On the other hand, money mismanagement and debt can result in financial anxiety, which can cloud decision-making and lead to a bad cycle. There are three basic moves those who want to be smarter about finances should make: gather information, plan, and execute. Some may think making a personal or household budget is too tedious, but it's the most essential part. I suggest itemizing spending into 17 categories and ballparking what you think you spend each month versus what you actually spend, and then what you would ideally like to spend for each. It may sound like a lot, but it usually can be accomplished in under 30 minutes each month. You'll see how extras can sneak in. For example, you may think you spend $3,000 for housing, but don't forget to add about $120 a month for repairs or furniture. If you're planning to take a vacation post-Omicron, remember to include expenses like additional cell phone charges, yoga classes, and fancy coffee drinks in the total. Next, compare your spending to your income. No judging. Money management requires facts, not guilt, rationales, or backstories. The exercise may be cringe-inducing, but people who don't budget are more likely to fall into debt. Budgeting is like sit-ups. First pain, then gain. Once you have a clearer picture, it may be helpful to bring in a third party. Any adult, regardless of age or income, can benefit from a session with a non-conflicted and, importantly, fee-only planner that they can trust. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Thank you for listening to North Carolina Reading.